Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
You know, to Easter, we preach about Christ dying on the cross, the Easter Friday morning and Sunday morning resurrection. But this year, I just really felt to speak about the message of the cross, just even leading up to Easter time, because I just believe it's the power of God. The cross, there's something powerful about it. So just for a while this morning, I just want to speak to you regarding the cross of Jesus Christ and what it means to us. But before we jump into that, we just want to look at some scriptures that will help us in our understanding to launch where we need to go. So Luke 23 verses 44, and it reads like this. Now it was the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, 45. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn. So it's amazing. I've done some research on the darkness that came over the earth, and it wasn't an eclipse. It was just a darkness that came. And it was a darkness you could feel. You know, sometimes it's dark and then sometimes it's scary dark. Like when the darkness came over Egypt in the Old Testament, it was talked about. It was a darkness you could feel. It was there was something in the atmosphere of it, and it came over the earth as Jesus Christ was taking the penalty for every sin and sickness and demonic activity that had been and forever would be, and the whole weight of that fell on Christ. It was darkness. And at that time, there's a veil in the temple that separated the holies of holies to the outer court. And you know, in the holies of holies was this throne, the holy place, where a priest could only go once a year and offer up sins. But when Christ died on the cross, it was about 30 foot tall and about 4 inches thick. It was ripped from the top down to the bottom. Man couldn't have done it. After it was ripped, the religious people heard about it and they tried to sew it up again, but it's too late. Jesus had escaped. And then it goes on to say here in verse 46 that, and when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion, interesting, the centurion, when he saw it, an unbeliever, when he saw what happened, he glorified God, saying, man, this was a righteous man. 48. And when the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, they beat their breast and returned. 49. But all of his acquaintance and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. So we see there the Bible account, and it's a historical account that Jesus Christ did die on the cross. You look at Luke 24 verses 1 to 12. It speaks about there that Jesus rose from the dead. So no one was there when he rose from the dead, but the angels declared it, and then he showed himself to many people over 40 days. But Jesus rose from the dead on that resurrection morning. No one knew, but they were about to know. Then you go to Luke 24 verses 13. We're going to read this. So when Jesus rises from the dead, after defeating the power of the devil, you think he'd be throwing a party, because he had 40 days to show himself, to prove himself that he was alive. And if Jesus could show himself and prove himself alive from the dead, it declares him to be the Son of God, because other religious leaders come and they died, but that was the end of it. But Jesus, there's something different about him, his birth and his death and his resurrection. It proved beyond a doubt that he was the Son of God, to come and to die and to rise again, to take away the sin of the world, that people can experience the life of God. But what does he do after he's risen from the dead? He goes for a walk. You just think, man, why don't you throw a party? Why don't you get everybody there? And nobody. He goes for a 7-mile walk. And as he goes down to this place called Emmaus, which is a place of no significance, even on the maps today, it's hard to find. But Jesus goes for a walk. And on that road, he meets two people by the name of Cleopas. And history kind of says it's probably him and his wife walking together. And you might say, who are they? Well, they were followers of Jesus. And they were there when they took Jesus down on the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body and wrapped him in linen, and then he placed him in his tomb where no one else had laid, and the stone was rolled against it. And they saw all of that. Then they came back on the third day, and the one that they kind of put their hope in, he was kind of gone, and they were just disillusioned. They didn't know what to do. They'd put their hope in this one. This is the one that's going to deliver Israel. This is the one that was going to give us our hope. And their hope was dashed. And what do they do? So disappointed. They go home to Emmaus and Jesus meets up with them. And it says that as Jesus met up with them, it says their eyes were restrained from knowing him. And there it says again, their hopes were dashed. And but he talks to them and he begins to open the word of God to them and about the prophecies regarding his coming and his death and his resurrection. And then it says in verse 31 that as they got to Emmaus, that Cleopas and his wife invited Jesus in. And then as he broke bread, they realized that he was Jesus, the Son of the living God, the one that they'd put their hope in. Here he was alive. They saw the scars in his hand and it witnessed with their eyes, but also witnessed within their spirit. Yeah, this is indeed Jesus, the Son of the living God. And their eyes were opened and they were amazed. Isn't it amazing hindsight? You know, they're walking along, Jesus is talking to them, and they didn't really kind of know what was going on until they got one of those moments. Who's ever had a light bulb moment? It's, oh yeah, I know what's going on now. Oh yeah, I get it. This was Cleopas, they get it. And then they begin to look back in verse 32 and verse 33, and it reads like this. I think it's on the screen. And this, they're looking back after Jesus reveals himself. And they said this to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? While he opened the scriptures to us. I just want to encourage us, give yourself time for things to burn strong in your heart. We get a little burn here, a little burn there, and then we forget about it. But did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road as he opened the scriptures to us? And you'll notice they said, hey, and they said to one another, who'd they say to? One another. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? And then you go down to the next verse in verse 33. So they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathering together, and they declared that they had seen Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, something happened when they encountered Jesus, but something happened when they looked back and began to speak about the good things of Jesus. You see, they experienced a fuller realization of Christ as they spoke and shared the good news. Because when they saw Jesus, wow. But when they look back, man, our hearts were burning. I've still got heartburn as I think about all those words that he was speaking to us on the road. It was amazing. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it interesting? They encountered Jesus, then they told others. They encountered Jesus, then they had something to give to others. They encountered Jesus and it didn't matter what other people had said because they'd encountered Jesus. And I just want to encourage us as we get along in life. Hey, it's okay to grow in favor with man, but the most important person that we are to encounter and to grow in favor with is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Because as you know him and as you get to know him, man, there becomes a boldness within their heart that you're not ashamed, and you talk about, and it strengthens the witness within your spirit that you are children of God. Come on, we see it there. There's a pattern that, man, they saw Jesus. Then they went and told others. So I was just thinking, you know, what really happened on the cross? A lot of things that I probably don't even know. A lot of things I don't even understand. Probably know a little bit more than I did a few years ago, but it's so deep and it's so expansive, but all we really have to know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Do you get it? And he rose again that we can experience the life of God. But the seven last sayings of Christ on the cross, and people have preached about this for years and spoke about it, and I just want to mention them this morning. They're sermonettes within themselves, but the first saying that Jesus did from the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Luke 23:35, "Father, forgive them." And if Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do," maybe we should be saying, "Father, forgive them. Sometimes they do know what they're doing." So, "Father, forgive them." Number two is, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So the two thieves each side of Christ, you know, one was mocking, the other one said, "Hey, when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Hey, this day you will be with me in paradise." You just kind of think, wow. Split second. He was in the presence of God. Some people do that. The last moment they accept Christ, you just think, well. It's a bit close. But if we accept Christ, I guarantee you're not going to die tomorrow. Oh, I can't guarantee it, but probably you won't die tomorrow. But you've got to go on the process of knowing Christ. A lot of people, "I just wish it was all over and done with." Yeah, well, don't live there too often. But it's a process that we go on now to know Christ. And then the other one was, "I thirst." Christ on the cross, and yeah, thirst. Give him some vinegar on a sponge. Do you know what the horrible thing is? It wasn't the vinegar. You know what they use that sponge for? Wiping their backsides when they go out the toilet. Got the sponge out, put it on a stick, the vinegar, here. Greatest insult. Number five, "Behold your son, behold your mother." And this is what I want to speak about in a moment. Number six, "It is finished." Hey, he wasn't finished. It was finished. Then he breathed his last and gave himself up. And number seven, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Oh, so many powerful truths just in those seven sayings on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Behold your son, behold your mother.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.